days. I want to praise. Everybody needs your love.
Well, good morning and welcome to OCC Online. It's a real joy to be with you today. You know, we might be on gathering on this online space, but we really value that sense of community, don't we? And this ability to be able to be together and just come around God's word and share with one another. Now, today, can I just encourage you to post some things that you might be thankful for into the live chat? Because a little bit later, we're going to be into communion. So if you've not got your communion stuff ready, maybe you want to do that in these next couple of minutes and just pull that together ready for later on in the service. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand over to Alan, who's going to lead us in some worship this morning. So Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sun that is shining. We thank you for this ability to be able to gather in this online space. Lord, we say this every week, but we would much rather be together in the same space. But that's not possible, and so we'll make the most of this space. But we thank you that we have this opportunity today to celebrate you, to celebrate all the good things that you're doing in our lives in the community in which we're a part, and the wider community. To help us today to capture something of your heart for us as your people, but also the mission that you've called us into, participating. For the glory of your name, I ask these things. Amen. Thanks, Alan.
Morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing okay this morning and enjoying the sunshine.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the whole earth. It's the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees and Lord, we want to lift your name on high. Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above.
You
You're always faithful. You reign throughout earth and heaven above. We exalt your name. You paid the price for sin. How awesome, how amazing are you? We worship you alone. We worship you alone. We submit to you, we bow down to you. We bring you our all today. How magnificent you are. You're the Prince of Peace and the Conqueror. It is finished, it is done. You rose in glory, it is finished, it is done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh. Oh, sufficient sacrifice, it is finished, it is done. What else can we do but worship you? What else can we do but bow down before you? All within me falls at your throne. All within me falls at your throne. All within me falls at your throne. Yes, all within me falls at your throne. Your majesty, I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. In royal robes, I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty.
Thanks, Alan, for just leading us through those great songs that pointing our attention to the magnificence of Jesus. He is truly wonderful. He is the King of Kings. He rules and reigns over all things. And as we engage in scripture, we see that. And Alan, just thanks for choosing those songs that just reflect it, that truth of scripture so well. We're going to go into communion in a moment, but before we do, I'm going to read some verses of scripture from Luke 22, verse 14 to 20, just to set the context and the scene for what we're about to do. So if you've not had a chance yet, please do post into the live chat just some of the things that you're thankful for, because we'll be reflecting on those in a moment. Let me read. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles were with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Some powerful verses of scripture that really is the point and the crux of our faith. And it's the reason why we would identify as Christians, because of what Jesus did on the cross and symbolized in the bread and the wine. John, I know that, you know, over the last week or so, you've been reflecting on these verses, and just as we come into this time of communion, I know you've got one or two thoughts that have been sparked this week as you've read these verses.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. They have, and it's baffling, isn't it, that in this moment, with all the confusion of what's been leading up to this moment and what we know will come, and Jesus speaks into in this moment, he says, before I suffer, he chooses to gather his closest and have a meal together. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it was that time of year and it was the Passover, but to have a feast in the midst of everything that's going on. And it just struck me, I wonder right now, in the midst of everything that's going on, whether we just stop and pause and have a family meal together. Not a full roast, although you may have that brewing in the oven ready for later, but just the meal that we as followers of Jesus take, where we remember that his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us, that as a family, we would normally gather on a Sunday and we take this together corporately. And I wonder whether we can try and do something now where we think on that. And we're going to share some things that we as a family are thankful for in a few moments. But I just wonder whether in the household you're a part of, maybe you're on your own, and that's fine, you can do this on your own. Maybe you're with other people. Maybe this is an opportunity just to serve each other communion if you're on your own, just let your mind go to the fact that right now, as a church family, we are all taking communion together. That in the confusion, in the not knowing what God is doing, what we're meant to be doing, in the midst of it all, we stop and we pause and we take a meal together and we remember what Jesus has done for us. That is the linchpin, that is the crux of everything, that Jesus has paid the price. So we can gather right now, we can cry out to God, we can call ourselves children of God, that his body was broken for us and his blood was shed. So we're going to take communion now, and we're going to try and do it between the three of us, where I'm going to serve Alan, Alan's going to serve Ian, Ian's going to serve me. We'll see how it works. And then we're going to encourage you to serve each other communion right now. As we remember his body that was broken for us, and his blood that was shed for us, that he knew, who knew no sin, became sin so we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we get a reason to be thankful right now because of what Jesus has done for us. So, Alan, as we take communion, and hopefully people at home are doing this as well, Alan, this is Jesus' body broken for you. Take it and eat it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And Ian, this is Jesus' body broken just for you. Take it and eat it.
And John, this is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. We're just going to share. You might want to write down some of the things you're thankful for in the chat, but just looking through, I see Skylar has gone to uni this week. She's over starting uni, and she said it's been really hard, but just see God working and know that he's had his hand upon it all. Just thankful to God. And Mary, thankful for being with family this week. She's been able to get home to see her family. Eddie and Maureen again as well, just being able to have a holiday, have a break, and spend time with their newest grandchild and their son and daughter-in-law. So just being thankful for family as we gather for our family. If there's anything you're thankful for, we're going to take the cup in a moment, and you can share things you're thankful for. We'd love to see that. Missing one, the Dartnells, thankful for the way God moves through others to bring strength where there's weakness, and building up when people feel like they have fallen down. Guys, we're in community, and we're God's community, working in and through each other to keep each other spurring on, running the race that he's got for us, and living for him. And so, Alan, this is Jesus' blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin.
Amen. Ian, this is Jesus' blood shed for the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you. John, this is the blood of Christ that was shed for you for the forgiveness of sin.
Lord, we thank you that your punishment is our peace. Lord, that no matter what goes on around us, we can know a peace that passes all understanding. Because, Lord, you've completed and finished the work. And we get to live in the truth and reality that we are completely accepted. No matter what yesterday held, no matter what tomorrow brings, we are in your hands, held by you. Secure because of what you have done, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Great. Just while we're in this place of communion, let's just keep thanking God. You may want to just be thanking at home. Got some more things coming through on the chat. A little Nehemiah's thankful for Lego. I share that. Amen to that thankfulness. Becky saying she's been reading through Genesis today. Just so thankful for God's mercy and his love to us. Just so amazing. Another one from Eddie and Maureen. Just thanks for the prayers for their daughter who had an emergency appendix operation. We continue to pray for her healing. And for others, Lord, we just pray right now for those that need a healing touch. We know Ralph with his back, others that have got pain in their body, Lord, within our church. Lord, we just pray complete healing. In relationships, we pray reconciliation. Lord, in bodies, we pray your kingdom come, your kingdom where there's no sickness. Mm. Lord, by your wounds, we are healed. So we claim that healing. Jesus, will you pour out your healing on the lives of those that need a touch from you? Thankful, Lord. So thankful. Mm-hmm. You keep sharing your thankfulness and we'll share those throughout the service. But Ian, I think you've got some notices for us before we move on.
Yes, we have. Yeah, I think, Phil, we've got a video lined up for the National Prayer Initiative from Elam that's taking place next week. So if you could press play, that would be awesome.
I'm here to tell you about something very exciting coming up very soon. From the 15th to the 17th of September, we are calling you to 3 days of prayer and fasting. As we head into the autumn, we are sensing a significant shift, and it's a call to God's people across Elim to stand in the gap and pray. On the mornings, we're going to have devotions and communion led online. Every day, the Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, we're asking you at midday to pray the Lord's Prayer over your community, your family, your frontline, your church. And as you do that, to maybe take a picture of yourself or a video and post it. Then on the Tuesday and the Thursday evening, we have live prayer. On the Tuesday the 15th, we've got a live prayer panel, lots of guests coming to encourage us and teach us how to pray. On the Thursday evening, we're really, really excited about live prayer and worship with Elim for the kingdom for a fresh move of the Spirit. And leaders, we want to be able to pray and prophesy with you. And so there's going to be a Wednesday afternoon Zoom call where we get to minister to one another. We really believe that this is not the time to shrink back, but to stand strong, to stand firm, to stand in the gap, to pray and fast together. So come on, Elim, let's pray.
Brilliant. That's going to be a great week. Sarah just leading Elim Prayer Network so well. And for us as a church to engage in that is going to be really significant, I think. And so look out for some more. I think John will probably explain some things as he goes through the rest of the morning. Just finally to say, though, we really, as a church, appreciate your giving. You know, in terms of our financial giving, we primarily give to God as an act of worship. It's as a means through which our hearts are changed and we're stirred with a response to God's graciousness and his compassion that has been expressed to us. And so we give as an act of worship. And so you can follow the link that is going to be posted in the chat there. If you're able to give into the life of the ministry of the church, which is gospel centric. So the key thing, I think, for us to understand as we talk about giving, as we think about finance, is that we're actually giving into the work of God, for the ministry of God, for his name to be made known, not simply in our community for the benefit of ourselves, but for the benefit of others. And so we see this worked out in scripture, actually, where the contributions of God's people benefited not only people within the life of the church, but also beyond. And so we don't want you to underestimate the thankfulness and the appreciation and the sense of gratitude that is felt actually as a community when we give in this way. So thank you so much for those of you who've contributed over the months. And you know, in the months that lie ahead, there may be some uncertainty, but we choose, don't we, to trust God in everything. He's the one that knows all things, and we're in this together. And so if in terms of as a community, this is really, really crucial times for us just to understand that we are community, and we're in this together, and we'll get through it together, and we'll see the kingdom of God together, because that's what families do. So thanks so much. I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to hand over to John.
Thanks, Ian. We're going to dive into God's word together. So if you've got a Bible, get Matthew chapter 11 ready. We're going to read that together and just see what God wants to speak through this into our lives. But we started a series last month called Bless, where we are taking the letters of the word bless and we're using them to help us start to orientate ourselves around what I spoke into last week, this new rhythm. But I really do believe that we can see this moment with what's going on in our world as something that's happening to us, or we can look at it and say, maybe something's happening for us, that maybe there is an opportunity in this to go back to who God is calling us to be and to orientate our lives around something different, that instead of being able to gather weekly and see how each other's doing and encourage one another and pray for one another and worship and sing together, that there's been a jolt in our rhythm and it looks different. Things look different and feel different, and we're having to adapt. But maybe that's something that's happening for the church, for us to really look at what's important and what God calls us to be as the church. So we want to just help during this season for us to be equipped to be the people that God is calling us to be, and to help us develop this new rhythm. Because I really am convinced that as I become older and grayer, I really do think the church will look different in the years to come than it did in January, February, and March of 2020. I really think God is doing something in the church. And I just sense that there's a call upon the church to be prepared for something that new that God is doing. And for us at this moment in time, we're just taking that word bless, looking at each letter and allowing that to shape how we live our lives on a daily basis. That B stands for bless. And today we're going to look at, and this month we're going to look at L. We're just going to take a letter per month. L, which stands for listen. Listen to God, listen to each other, and listen to the world around us. Because I don't know about you, but this rhythm jolt, any shift in our lifestyle, when there's a jolt like that, it takes time to bed in. And so I'm not expecting us as a church to have got this nailed, that we did bless last month, tick that off. We're all nailing that and we've got it sorted. It's going to take time to bed in. It's going to take time for us to get this rhythm into the walk of our life. But it's an invitation to say, why don't we change what we're aiming at? And instead of saying, let's aim weekly at making sure we get as many people gathered as we can. And we want to be able to get back to that and enjoy that. But that's part of something else, something of our daily walk. Last week, I said that we're not about presentation, but about practice, that our daily practice. And I think this word bless can really help us. If we get that into the beginning of each day, just bless. What does that mean? Bless up, in and out. Bless God, the church and the world. Listen to God, listen to each other and listen to the world, then I wonder if something could happen through that. I want to play a video to you right now. Some of you will know Marsha, who's part of our church. Some of you may not. She's an inspiring lady, and I learn so much from her when I sit and listen to her. And I was with Marsha this week, and Marsha's not someone who's able to engage with the technology that we're putting out there for online services and connect groups. She's getting CDs given to her of the services and different things that are happening. So she's hearing the teaching and journeying with us. But I was just so inspired by Marsha this week as I heard what life has been like for her since we've not been able to gather. So I just wanted her to share this story with you right now.
The Lord speaks to me in many ways, and I'm always obedient, always. Sometimes when I'm really tired, I do get a bit of a struggle. But there again, I think to myself, no. Come on. You go, don't do this. So what I do is I think, well, okay, Lord, I'll be a good disciple today. I'll go out there, Lord, into Stratford, of course, and see who needs me to speak to them from the Lord, yes? So I went out the one day, and this lady was standing with her dog, and the dog was so beautiful, and I am an animal lover, Pastor John, and I happened to look down and said to him, you're beautiful, whatever, talking to the dog, and I looked up and the lady was looking at me, and she said, is your name Olga? And I said, no. I said, no, it's not. I said, but I would have chosen this name many years ago because my next door neighbour had that name, and I always loved it. And I was going to have my name changed to that, but I didn't get to that anyway. So the next thing, the conversation struck up, and I looked at her and I said, what beautiful earrings you have. Oh, they're so beautiful. And with that, I hadn't got my glasses on, but I could see them sparkling. So I put my glasses on, and then I looked, and I could see that she was part Indian, part English. And I said to her, she said to me, I'm a part English and part Indian, and I could see that she was. So anyway, I said, she said to me, something to me. Anyway, what happened, it boiled down to it that she was a Christian, and I only found that out because she was wearing a cross. And I asked her, what a beautiful cross you're wearing. She said, yes, I'm a Christian, born again. And I said, oh, wow, so am I. So she said, oh, that's wonderful. She said, could I ask you, could you possibly pray for me? I'm backslidden, and I just lost all my gifts that the Lord gave to me, and I'm so upset about it. And would you pray for me then? And I said, I most certainly will. So outside the post office in Stratford-on-Avon, with people queuing to go in, there was me and this lady with my hands up in the air and one hand on her, and praying that the Lord would open the door for her and intercede and see what was going on in her life while she was in this state. So she was very pleased and very happy, and had a smile on her face, not looking sad and unhappy like when I first met a few minutes ago. So with that, she asked me where I lived. I told her where I lived, and she wants to keep in touch. And then Olga, this lady, turned up, who she was waiting for, who she didn't know. I don't know what the reason was about all that. And that was that. But basically, she went away much happier than when I first met her. So praise the Lord. The glory goes to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
What an amazing story, amazing lady. And as I listened to her story, I said, Marsha, do you mind if I just film you retelling that story? Because for me, hearing a story, daily being with God, is, I just sat there and thought, it's not something reserved for the super spiritual. And hearing from God is not some strange thing that only a few people get to do. It's a choice that we make. And when Marsha first told me that story, she was saying, I was so tired that day. I just said to God, I don't want to do it today. I don't want to be your disciple today. But she just felt God say, just please go out and do what I'm calling you to do. And she gave her day to God. And for Marsha, she's retired. Her children are all grown up. That's what life looks like for Marsha. Life for you may look completely different. But my question this morning is, what does it look like for us to listen to God and then respond? As we move from being a blessing, through to L, through to listening. Listening to God, listening to each other, and listening to the world. What does it mean for us to listen to God? Hopefully you found Matthew chapter 11. We're going to hopefully get these verses to speak into our life around listening to God. But this moment in the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel, just good news, the story of Jesus written through Scripture, Matthew being the first of the New Testament books speaking about Jesus. And Matthew's been detailing this Saviour, Messiah, that he believes is Jesus. And what Jesus has been doing, and in this moment we see that Jesus has been bringing some radical teaching, that he's healing the sick, and he's going out and sending his followers to go out and do the same. Just incredible. But behind the scenes, we've seen from a few chapters earlier that Jesus's very own cousin, John the Baptist, he's been arrested by Herod. And the story goes that John was probably speaking something that Herod just sort of found a little bit too close for comfort around his own personal life. And so John was put in prison. And we know that ultimately throughout the story that John will end up being executed. But in this moment, John is in prison and he calls out to Jesus. Let's just read these words together from chapter 11 of Matthew. It says, when Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and preach in their towns. Now, when John heard in prison what the Christ was doing, he sent a messenger through his disciples and asked him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And blessed are the one who isn't offended by me. Father God, I just ask right now that you would speak through your word. your yes through what I've prepared and your spirit is just hopefully laid upon my heart to share, but also just directly by your spirit speaking to our lives through what you've said, through your word. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and lives that respond for your glory. Amen. Amen. I wonder, have you ever heard someone say, God has said? It's a little bugbear of mine, but maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Someone in church or maybe another Christian saying, oh, God has said. Now, please understand me when I say it's a bugbear. I am in no doubt that God speaks. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Primarily through God's word, through scripture, absolutely God speaks. But through dreams, through visions, through some people talk about audibly hearing the voice of God. I've never encountered that myself. But God speaks however God wants to speak directly into our thinking, through our experiences, even through the wisdom and input of others in our lives. I've got no doubt that God speaks. I do doubt that we always hear what he's saying. And if we do hear, that we always hear 100% correctly. My issue, the minute we say God has said, we're speaking on behalf of God. We're putting to voice what God has said. And I struggle when someone says, God's told me to go and do this. And then a couple of weeks later, they're like, no, I didn't really like doing it, so I didn't bother doing it anymore. I thought God had said. Or we say, God has said this. And within a few days, everybody's forgotten. And I'm like, really? Did God really say that? Now, I'm not wanting to shatter any confidence in hearing from God at all. I believe we all can. But I want to throw in some caution. As we talk about listening and listening to God, I just want to be really practical this morning and throw in some ways through this scripture, through these passages, that we can discern and practice together hearing the voice of God with some humility. Because I remember in my life, a Christian leader once told me that God had told them about God's will for my life. So this other leader, God had felt the need to tell that leader about God's will for my life. Now, instantly, I was kind of thinking, well, why would God tell you and not me? I'm a little bit confused by that. And also what was confusing was what God seemed to be telling this leader was not what I actually thought God was telling me. It was, however, what this leader wanted me to do. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be controversial. I just struggle when we start saying God has said. And I had to make a decision in that moment with so much doubt inside of me, because God had said, but I had to trust. And was I certain in what God was saying? No. Could I turn around and say, well, actually, God has said this? No. I was just getting a feeling, a sense. And I know now, looking back, I was learning to figure out how I needed to hear from God for myself. And I had to actually go against what that person said God had said. And it turned out, I mean, who knows? I could have gone with what they said and God still would have weeded his plan in anyway. But I was learning to listen to God for myself. But the confusion didn't come from God speaking. It came from us listening and declaring God has said. See, I love Marsha's story. I love the truth and the reality of just hearing from God. Not a specific task to go and do, although God does do that. And sometimes he'll say something very specific, maybe even a person or something that we've got to go and do. But in this case, it wasn't. It wasn't waiting around saying, God, you've got to give me something because then I'll go and do. I'm so tired right now and I don't want to be a disciple. But if you give me something specific, I'll go and do it. No, this was just a sense, just a response that I should go out and I should do something. For what reason? She didn't know. She was just being obedient to what God was saying in that moment. And because of that, the person who needed an encounter with God had an encounter with God. But how did it start? Wasn't anything weird, nothing super spiritual, just in her tiredness, Marsha offering what she had, which was a response to a prompt. And I love how she went out. She went out just blessing. God didn't say, go out and tell that person that you see they got lovely earrings and a really cute dog. He could have done, and he does do that. But in this moment, she wasn't waiting around for something specific. It was just, let's go out and start blessing people. Let's compliment those around me. God's creation, those that are made in his image. And she just went out and blessed. She started living the rhythms that we're talking about. Blessing, listening. And as she listened, she was able just to respond. I know some of the stories she told of just somebody coming across her driveway who said, I just felt prompted to walk this way around town. And she went, prompted, why? And they started having a conversation about Jesus and she invited her in for food. Little spoiler alert, bless is bless. L is listen, E is eat. We'll get to that in another few weeks' time. Just these rhythms that we can start to build into our life. Blessing and listening. That's how Marsha went out. But you see, my concern is that we, the church, sorry, let me not put that on you. Maybe we as leaders and pastors, we've presented a version of hearing from God that's actually more about us than it is about God. that when we say God has said, it's more about the fact that we try and convince everybody that we can hear God, that we're super spiritual, that we know what God wants. Maybe the pressure to feel we need to know what God wants. And it's a lot more about me, my control, when actually God speaking should always lead us to focus more on Jesus. Marcia went out. We're telling her story, but it led me to think, wow, Jesus, aren't you amazing? You can work in and through our tiredness to reach that person that is lost and needs you. See, I just wonder if we, the church, need to change our language around hearing from God. Instead of saying God has said, maybe we can be a community that says, maybe this is what I'm hearing. But this week, I'm going to speak into it a few minutes, as we join with the wider Ealing movement and pray together, maybe as we stop and listen, maybe as we share with each other, we can say, this may be what I'm hearing. Unless we're reading directly from scripture. Maybe wrong, I might be wrong on this, but this is what I'm hearing. What do you think? And we speak in such a way that we make Jesus the center of what's being said and not our ability to hear. See, I think there's something of this challenge for John the Baptist in Matthew 11. Some of you are thinking, like, how does Matthew 11 connect with listening to God? Well, let's see if we can get somewhere with it. See, John is in prison and he's hearing about all that Jesus is doing. The teaching, the miracles, the healing the sick, the changing the weather, the setting the captives free. I mean, we've just read that Jesus announces himself in the synagogue at the start of his ministry by quoting Isaiah 61, proclaim liberty to the captives. And here we've got John the Baptist is a physical captive in prison. And so John sends message to Jesus, are you the one? Now remember, John is the one who has baptized Jesus. He's the one that was there in that moment as the clouds split open, a dove descends and a voice speaks out, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. John has witnessed that moment, but in this moment, as John is in prison, he is isolated, he's on his own. I think we can safely assume that doubt is part of his daily routine. Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one? I mean, I want to say, come on, John. You know the prophecies. You were there at his baptism. I mean, let's just put this in context. Your mum and his mum have got amazing stories of conception about how you were both born and what that all looked like. Are you in any doubt? But for John, he struggles to recall what God has said. He's struggling to hear and listen while he faces uncertainty in that prison cell. Church, I want to say that listening to God is not filled with 100% certainty where we can declare God has said. Listening to God is so often filled with doubt and faith. And when we feel threatened, when we're going through pain and loss, when the world is collectively reeling due to a global pandemic, like John in isolation and struggling to see, the certainty of God has said, well, John the Baptist is struggling to hear God in this moment. See, I wonder if we can be the kind of community where John the Baptist of this world can express doubt in hearing from God, where we can admit we're all journeying together with it, where we can all admit that there is uncertainty, that there is faith and doubt, but faith and doubt are not incompatible. They are completely normal. See, for John, he gets his followers to go to Jesus. In verse 2, he says, now when John heard in prison what the Christ was doing, he sent message through his disciples and asked him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Put this into the context of speaking to God. When you're speaking to God, when we ask Jesus a question about why is this happening, or what am I meant to do, or how, or, you know, these big questions of life. It's funny, isn't it? In when we're in that place of isolation and we're struggling, and like John's in this prison, he's asking him massive questions. How when we're struggling, we ask massive questions and we want specific answers. We want the yes or no. Are you the one? Yes, I am, is what we want the answer to be. But look how Jesus responds. Jesus replied to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Specific answer? No, I don't see a specific answer in that. No yes or no to John's questions. See, one of our problems with listening to God is we've gotten so individualistic in our relationship with Jesus that when we're going through something, we really need to hear from God. We get disheartened when we don't hear what we want to hear. I want to suggest that Jesus does respond to John, but not how John wanted or needed. Because hearing and listening to Jesus is not about what we need to hear, but about what Jesus has to say. Are we listening? John is in prison. He is without doubt wanting Jesus to meet his need and get him out of prison so he can get on with what God's calling him to do. And what does Jesus do? What's Jesus's response? It's not the yes or no to the question that John asks. Are you the one? Jesus says, go and report to John what you hear and see. Look around. See what I'm doing. See what I've done. Church, just some practical things that we can do as we embark on listening this month, listening to God. My first point is this. See what Jesus has done and is already doing. Go and tell him what you hear and see. In the midst of what we're going through, look and see what Jesus is doing and has already done. See, listening to God is combined with seeing what God is already doing. Go and tell John what you hear and see. Not just in your life, not just while you're in your own prison cell, but open your eyes. God's blessed us with five senses. Stop, look and listen before you cross the road. Good little thing for prayer. Stop, look and listen before you say God has said. In the church community that we're a part of, what is God already doing? Look around in the lives of your loved ones and your friends. Look at what God has done and is already doing. Open your eyes. I want to suggest that the voice of God gets quieter when we lose sight of what God has and is doing, when it becomes all about our little closed world. And in this moment, in this season of life, it can be really easy to start looking inward in our own little prison cell of isolation and lockdown. Now you're only allowed to see this number of people, and we lose sight of what God has and is doing. John is in prison. He is isolated. He is alone. He is doubting that Jesus is the Son of God in whom he is well pleased. In isolation, we miss all that God is doing in the world. It is so tempting to withdraw in these moments. I encourage you, don't. For hearing from God, but also for the well-being of your own soul, community is so important. This season is one where isolation is tempting, but it's a sure way to limit the voice of God and hearing and growing and listening to the voice of God. Why? Because actually God has created us all to hear his voice. And the way we see him working in and through others is a great way to say, God, you're speaking. See, one little test from listening to God straight off the bat is with the God has said, or that impression that we might get, or that word or that dream. Is it consistent with what God has done and is doing in and others around us? And when we isolate ourselves, we can't see that. We can't see the blind receiving their sight, the lame getting up and walk, the poor hearing the good news. But in community, we can. And if what you hear God might be saying, or through that dream or whatever it is that you sense could be God, if it doesn't line up, then can I just say park it? Just put a pin in it and put it on the notice board of possibilities. Trust that God speaks, but be humble enough to admit that maybe what I'm hearing isn't from God, or maybe it's not for now. And if that thing comes back, or you start seeing in the lives around you, God, wow, there seems to be some consistency here. Then hey, why don't you share it and speak it out? But be humble enough to admit that it's God speaking. Listen to God is not just about me, myself, and I. It's about community. Look and see what I am doing and what I have done. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor hear the good news. So as we practice listening to God, it's about what he has done and is already doing. My second point is this. Jesus says, hear and see. Hear and see. Look at what God's already doing around you. But my second point is this. We have to listen to what he's already said. If we want to know what God is saying, we have to listen to what he has already said. If you're listening and what you sense God might be saying is so far removed from what we read in this book, then you can file that straight away in WPB. I file a lot of stuff away in WPB. It stands for waste paper basket. Just file it straight away. Because sometimes our desire to hear what God has to say and it doesn't line up with what he's already said, then there's inconsistency. And God does not act inconsistently with who he is. And so we need to be people who read this book, who get to learn the character and nature of God. And I'm not just talking about odd verses on a rough day that make us feel better, but I mean reading to really know who God is, what he sounds like, to read the way of Jesus, to get this as like a filter. Like when you pour out dirty water into a filter, the dirt is caught and the pure water runs out. If we can get this book so much within us, the character and nature of God and who he is and what he says, then it's like the filter. And all the kind of rubbish gets caught on the top of like, no way, no way, no way, no way. Yeah, that's God. See, hearing and listening to God has to come from a place of being in his word. cultivating an ear that hears the way God speaks and a lifestyle that responds when spoken to. Why? Because Jesus longs for intimacy. Jesus doesn't want to just be our slot machine speaker when we need to hear him, our answer and problem solver. Look at Elijah. We read about him defeating the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18 and 19, and he's on the run because Israel's king, the wife of Israel's king, Jezebel, is seeking to kill him. So Elijah runs into the wilderness and collapses in exhaustion in a cave, another place of isolation where he's crying out to God, "Why am I all alone?" Then Elijah goes up on the mountainside and the Lord sends this mighty wind that breaks the rocks into pieces, and then he sends an earthquake and a fire. But God's voice is in none of those. God's voice is in the still small voice. It's in the gentle whisper. See, Elijah had to stop and look what was going on around him. Yes, God had worked these amazing miracles, the fire falling while the prophets of Baal are offering sacrifices, and he is, and God came down in the fire. Yeah, he'd been in the impressive, but now it was about the intimate. Elijah had to be close enough to hear the gentle whisper, not just experience the miracles of God, but hear the murmur of God. And that's why Marsha's story is so beautiful to me. Simple response to how God speaks. Not all about Marsha. Not everybody needed to know God has said. No, just simple, quiet devotion from a place of intimacy. I know you're calling me, God. I need to go and do. So if we're not seeking intimacy with Jesus and partnering with him in his work, then why should we ever expect him to speak? And if he does, why would we ever recognize his voice? Seeking and sensing God's presence and obeying his teaching are foundational to what it means to listen to the voice of God. We have to see Jesus for who he is and not who we think he is. Guys, this is where I want to land the plane, where I'm going to finish. So as we embark this week, and we're going to gather together in connect groups and seek to listen to God and pray and petition and fast together for those that are able to. But as we do, why don't we see what he's doing and what he's already done? Secondly, as we seek to listen, we have to listen to what he's already said in and through his word. And third, listening to God is about what God wants to say, not what we want to hear. See, John is in prison. He's being held for what some scholars believe could have been 10 months up to this moment where he's sending his followers to encounter Jesus. It wouldn't be long before John would be executed. And John was part of a nation who had lived under Roman occupation for decades. A nation who had been waiting even longer for a Messiah to come that was going to set them free. And now we've got Jesus on the scene, one who's claiming to be that Messiah. A Messiah who was a common thought in the day, the character and naturistic of the Messiah that people had grabbed onto was that he was going to be this conquering king that was going to ride in on a white horse, rid the world of this horrible oppressive regime, Rome, that is taking over our lives and set us free to live a life that is comfortable and happy for us. Scripture says the coming Messiah will be like a conquering king. One of the most popular passages at the time, Jesus quotes it a lot, Daniel chapter 7. And it says, "And suddenly one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. He was given dominion and glory and a kingdom so that every people, nation and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed." This passage about a coming Messiah. Yes, he's going to help us. He's going to save us. You read that in the context of a suffering people and they're like, we need him to come and set us free, to destroy the evil oppressors and give us life as we want it to be. And I want to suggest maybe this is the view of the Messiah that John was holding on to as he's awaiting death in this Roman prison. Are you really the one? Are you the one that's going to come and rid the world of Rome so we can take control ourselves and live as God calls us to, and I'll be out of this prison? That's the question he's asking. The issue is the longing of the people at the time of Jesus, and those scriptures are also backed up with another characteristic and nature of this coming Messiah. That, yeah, he will be conquering king, but he'll also be a suffering servant. Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Yet he himself bore our sickness, he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was upon him." See, Jesus, the Messiah, the one that came and the one they were waiting for. Yes, he was the conquering king, but he was also the suffering servant. And John reaches out to Jesus, longing to hear what he needed to hear, that Jesus was going to be this king to ride in and overthrow Rome and set him free. Jesus's response wasn't the response that John wanted. yeah, I'm going to be the conquering king that comes. I'm going to come and I'm going to rule and reign. But I'm going to rid this world of darkness and sickness and sin. That's how I'm going to rule and reign, usher in a new kingdom that's both now and not yet. For John, so much was what he wanted to hear, but the question was he going to listen to what was being said? And what was being said by Jesus was, am I what you're expecting? You want me to meet your needs, to be your savior? Do you see and hear? The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised, the poor are getting the gospel preached to them. Am I who you're expecting? See, if we're not careful, the voice of God we hear can be one that always agrees with us, with our point of view, with our emphasis, our passions, our leanings, our political persuasions. I wonder, when was the last time God disagreed with you? Imagine John in this moment. God, I need you to come and set me free. And what you're saying is really upsetting to my view of who the Messiah should be. You don't do what I think you should do. You don't respond the way I need you to respond. And if we're not careful, we go around saying God has said, and it sits within the framework of the God that we're really comfortable with, the scriptures that we really like, the God that works the way we feel he should work and do what we need him to do. And hearing from God comes about reinforcing our position rather than actually letting God speak. Jesus is saying to John in these verses that in the midst of what you're going through, you need to see a part of me that you don't want to see. That I'm speaking, but are you listening? Church, I wonder if we could just be a community that all admit God has made me a certain way. And there's certain characteristics of God that I just more easily relate to than other bits. But actually, when we come together and we make hearing from God something of a community exercise, we all come together and we see God as he actually is, not as we simply see him. That's why we're joining with the wider Ely movement for these 3 days of prayer, from the 15th to the 17th, Tuesday to Thursday. Those in Connect groups, we're going to dedicate those evenings and that afternoon time to just being together and listening to God. There may be structured things happening that Elam are putting on that we can engage with, but maybe not. But I just wonder if we can start to share what we sense God might be saying, throw it into the mix of what everybody in church is sensing God might be saying. I wonder if there's some themes that might occur that we can respond to. And maybe we see more clearly what God has done and is doing, what he has said and is already said. That we get to hear God, what he's saying, not what we want to hear, as we open our ears and let him speak. So I want to say, if you're willing, if you're able this coming week, then join with us. There's going to be loads online. We'll get it all out via email this week. In the morning, you can be praying communion together every morning through those 3 days. At lunchtime, they're asking everybody just to pray the Lord's Prayer. What a great thing, just to pray that over your workplaces, over wherever you're stood. And then in the evening, we're able to get together in Connect groups. I want to finish here. I want to finish, and I've rewritten this conclusion over and over again, and the page is now blank before me because everything I wrote didn't seem to really sum up what I was trying to communicate. Because I don't know about you, but I can relate to John the Baptist in this. I can really relate to where he finds himself. That he's desperate to hear Jesus speak. He's desperate to hear what he needs to hear. And what he gets back is not what's needed for him. Maybe there's disappointment. Church, I want to say, maybe for some of you, that's right where you're at, right where John is at. The message is coming back and it's not easy to listen to. It's not what you need or what you want. Not everything we hear from Jesus will be what we need or want. I wish as a pastor, I could say he will meet all your needs specifically for you. He will say what you need him to say. But these verses, they restrict me from saying that. I can't say that. But what we do need to know, in the difficulty that you might be facing, that Jesus is the conquering king and the suffering servant. That when you feel defeated and without hope, when you feel lost and full of despair, Jesus has won. He is the victory. We are on the winning side. He is the conquering king. He holds you in the midst of what you're going through. And he's gone before you. He's the suffering servant who's walked through the pain, is with you in the middle of the loss, the brokenness. Circumstances may seem to render God silent, but he's not. He's with it and he's with you through it all. And there's nothing I could say in this moment, no wisdom that can meet that. But I believe the Spirit of God can. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to invite Alan, just as we finish right now, just to lead us in a song response. Just to play. And we're going to invite the Spirit of God just to minister, just to speak. And it might be you're desperate to hear something. Well, trust, if it's silence, then trust God in that. It's about what God wants to say, not what you need to hear. It may be that what you hear isn't what you want to hear. It may be that you need to stop and look around you and see what he's doing in the lives of others and be encouraged by that, what he's already done in your life, and remember and be faithful to that. It might be you need to get into his word and say what he's already said, because he's not saying it because he's already said it. And he wants intimacy from us. So let's just let the Spirit of God right now, as we come, as this month, we just look at listening to you, God, listening to those in the church around us, listening to the world, God. I just pray right now, Spirit of God, where each one of us is at, will you just come and minister by the power of your Spirit that goes beyond any wisdom in my words? Will you just minister right now to your people as we draw to that place of intimacy? Present yourself in each life and household right now. In Jesus' name. Thanks, Alan.
Spirit, lead me away.
my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Come lead us, come speak to us. Draw us out of our comfort zone. Call us out to where you are. Draw us out, and I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you.
You know, I think that was such an important message that we've heard from John this morning, in how we engage in hearing what God is saying in the context of community. One of the things that I just reflected on as John was sharing, just as Alan was playing, is that the crucial role that hearing the things that we don't often want to hear is so crucial for our journey in discipleship, and discipleship being in the context of community, not simply an individual pursuit. And so we need one another. You know, we've reflected on that this morning, and the sense of hearing from God in the context of community, in order that we might be the kind of people that he's called us to be, and to be the kind of witness to the world that he's called us to be. It's a community exercise. And so this is where it's such a countercultural engagement in community and in the Christian journey, is because we go against that individualism and that sense of individual pursuit for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And so I want to pray in a moment, but I want to really encourage you as you to engage with one another. Let's engage in community. Let's engage crucially with God's word, that we might hear what he is saying, hear what the Spirit is saying, and respond to him in that sense. So, Father, I thank you for your kindness, and your grace, your mercy, that you call us to be a part of your family. You're the head. You're the good Father, and you long to speak to us, and you have spoken to us in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of Scripture that enables us to learn of your character and learn your ways and learn of how that works out in practice in our day-to-day interactions one with another. And so help us to hear and help us to do the things that you've commissioned us to do, that we might bring glory to you and we might benefit one another and the world, and be a blessing to the world in which you've called us to be a part of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I hope you have a fantastic week. Whatever it is that you're going to be doing, may you hear and act accordingly to what God has spoken for his glory. So have a great week. God bless you.